Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have a horrible update to start the hour, and this was the case of a 13-year-old who was on an e-scooter crossing Lee Boulevard in Leawood. This was on Monday, October 13th. That young boy has died. There was a GoFundMe that has been set up by family members. The goal on this is $140,000. They've reached $119,000, and there's more background on the story if you want to go to that site. But they said that he suffered a severe head injury and a fractured leg in the crash. He was taken to Children's Mercy, where he died days later. Police said bystanders called 911 after witnessing the crash. The driver of the vehicle involved remained on the scene, and we have heard nothing about charges being filed against that driver, but police still want to talk to anyone who witnessed the crash.
Yeah, we've had several people text in already saying this could be a case of distracted driving, and it might be. It very well may be. We don't know. It was right off 103rd, just north of that.
It's a busy intersection.
And it could have been somebody turning in too quickly. We don't know. I do think it's been 10 days. You would think there would be maybe some charges if it was distracted driving, but maybe that's also why the Leawood police are saying, if you know anything or if you saw anything, let us know. It's really, really difficult to talk about this because anything we say is going to sound like
victim blaming
or judging the family or the parents. And I don't want to come off like that. I really don't. At the same time, I think what is happening here is these things are dangerous. These e-scooters are dangerous. Every day when I'm walking my son home from school, these kids pass us on these things. They're going way too fast. I've seen kids flip over on them. I've seen them hit cars, not moving cars, fortunately, but parked cars. I've seen them go up on the sidewalks, catch a crack in the sidewalk itself, and flip over into grass. They're dangerous. They're not toys. They're basically mini motorbikes, and they get treated like just a toy. Like they get treated just like a plaything. And I think by their nature, parents think that they're less dangerous than a bike. I think that they're more dangerous than bikes.
Why do you think parents have that impression? Is it because of the speed? Is it because we call them a scooter? Why?
I think that's it. I think it's because they're like Razor scooters, only they're motorized, right? So they go faster than you think they would.
Right.
But nobody thinks of Razor scooters as something all that dangerous. Like, Quentin, you grew up in the generation that was riding these things all the time, right? Not e-scooters, but Razor scooters, right?
Oh, yeah. My shins have a lot of scars from that.
Right. And if you are a parent that grew up riding these things, if you were growing up in the late 90s or early 2000s, you don't think that Razor scooters are that bad. But they're incredibly dangerous when you give them a motor because the wheels are too small to be able to navigate very effectively without flipping over. On top of that, the type of injury that you get from falling off of a scooter is different than on a bike. On a bike, you're going to fall over more on your side.
Right.
On a scooter, you're going to go head over tea kettle. That is how you're going to go face plant. You're going to go face first into stuff.
Which is likely why this kid suffered head injuries like he did.
Exactly. Because it's just you and the little handle, and that's it.
Yeah.
On a bike, at least there's a wheel in front of you.
Yeah.
And you're not positioned to where you're going to just go smack face first into stuff.
So I've said before that there's just such a problem with these right now. And you have kids that are riding these. That's a 103rd Street and Lee. That's a busy intersection. I mean, that's 103rd Street. You have kids that are riding these that don't know the rules of the road. They don't know about traffic signals. They don't have the awareness to know who gets to go at what intersection and what and who doesn't. They don't know the rules of the road. So either we need to make it 16 years old or you have to have a driver's license to operate one of these, or we need, and I don't even know who can do this. Federal Trade Commission, I don't know who would have the authority to do this. But at what point does something become too dangerous to allow people to buy and use? And are we at that point?
I mean, it at least regulate them a little bit.
Like, what would make them safer?
Slow them down.
Yeah. Have a governor on them where they can only go like 10 miles an hour, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't even know how fast they go.
Govern trucks, like how semi trucks can only go 65, which is really annoying when you're on the highway. But try and do the same thing to where, you know, just make it to where these cap out. I don't, whatever speed limit that you want to pick, but even the. Because I used to ride one to and from campus.
Mm-hmm.
The brakes on them are scary because on a bike, when you've got your little handlebar brake, like it's more of an ease. Even if you try and slam on your brake, like there's more skid to it.
Mm-hmm.
These, I mean, they can stop immediately. And then that's where you talk about you flip over the handlebars. And yeah, I'm happy that I had that as... I don't know if I could call myself an adult at, 22 years old, but I'm happy that I at least had some sense that I had a helmet when I was riding it.
Do we require helmets for these? Please tell me we require helmets for them.
In Missouri, you don't need a helmet to ride a motorcycle, so it would shock
out loud.
Me if you don't need one for that.
I thought we looked it up before, and you need one if you're under 18.
Okay.
Or at least that's for bicycles.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me if, like... The law just hasn't caught up with that yet.
Yeah, and this is Kansas side, which tends to be a little better about stuff like that, but...
It's up to local laws, apparently.
Okay, so how do we... Let's solve this one. Let's attempt to solve this one.
I think, oddly, we don't teach driver's ed in school,
right.
Which... You and
which hurts
I,
a lot.
Both from Illinois,
yes.
Know that you should.
Yeah.
It should be part of the curriculum.
Yes.
It's crazy that it's not. I don't know what you're teaching that is in school that's more important than driver's education. But
ours is like 9 weeks. I mean, it didn't consume
it was a
lot.
Long, yeah, it was like part of health class.
That's
or
what
whatever.
Ours was too, yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't even, right, it wasn't that. Time consuming, but there's God, you would think it's important enough that you would have to teach it as part of the curriculum. They don't, that's fine, whatever. That they maybe need to start teaching this in school. Like they need to teach not just driver's ed, but the rules of the road. Because how many kids know that, a car has a right of way here, or a car isn't going to make a turn here, or can make a turn here, or do a U-turn? How many kids know what a U-turn is?
I think kids just need, or parents need to know how dangerous these are. Like parents need to know about the problems with these as well. We got to just tell people.
I agree that would help. That's a more immediate solution, is for parents just to not let their and better understand the problem with that kids have on these. But back to Weir's point. It's not a bad idea, but if we're going to do it like age of 10, at what age do kids start doing e-scooters? And you could do it the same way that we do sex ed, where you do like the mini version first at age 10, because they're not driving cars, but they just need to know the rules of the road. They don't need to know how to parallel park. They just need to know the rules of the road. So could we do something for kids that are younger? I mean, I hate to bring guns into this. God, look at me doing that. But it's the same reason we talk about some kids in some areas needing education about guns in schools young, not because they're going to shoot them, but so they know how dangerous they are if they find them.
100%. Yeah.
Same idea.
From the text line, the number of kids I see wearing, they're saying in quotation marks, a helmet with it simply on their head, not attached correctly, horrifies me. My kids had to pass the WHAP test, W-H-A-P test. I don't know what that is. Oh, where you whap the helmet to see if it moved. I told them the sidewalk was going to hit their head a lot harder than I would. That's from the text line. So, yeah, I mean, I do see a lot of kids on these not wearing helmets, and that's insane to me.
913-586-7798. Let's fix it. Let's solve it. What do we do? Or what do local governments need to do if it's not going to be a statewide thing, or if the FTC is not going to do anything to regulate them, which I just can't imagine at this point in time that's going to happen.
I can't see it happening.
It's just not going to.
Yeah, 913-586-7798. Some driver's ed is available, but it's a summer class for high schoolers and it costs $330 in Liberty.
For us, it was an activity fee, but it was cheap. $50 maybe.
You had to pay for materials. Permit? Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Did you have a driver simulator?
No. Like,
no, you didn't have a machine.
You guys drove on?
Yeah, no, we had it was a laser disc. And we sat in these machines, and it literally, it was like a broom handle. And so it was a driver's simulator. But Jamie, it was not good. it was really bad. What? They didn't cooperate. They didn't act right.
I was gonna say, was it like an effective teaching tool?
No, it was terrible.
Okay.
It was terrible. Because you would get in it going like, I'm doing everything it's saying, but it was this like Kafka-esque thing where everything you did was wrong.
Yeah.
And then you'd see somebody else not doing anything and everything they did was right. And it was a mess.
Why did driver's ed get dropped? I guess you guys never had it in schools here. I don't know. But why?
No.
Why not? Why is that not worth? Do kids don't drive as much anymore? I don't know. But why is that not worth? Because again, now we have so many ways that you need a driver's license, so many vehicles that you can drive that's not a car.
Yeah.
Like these, that it would be good to know the rules of the road. Why is that not worth having in school?
I don't know. Because how much of your life do you spend driving?
A lot.
A significant portion.
A lot.
And I'm sorry, if my friend Brad texted, pointed out, I mean, how many kids are learning poetry? And by the way, I find poetry to be very enriching and awesome. I really like poetry. But I don't think it's more important to learn for most kids. That's because I like it. That should be an elective. Whereas driver's ed, even if you're not driving, should be required. So at least you know what the rules are one day, so that if you do, or just so as a pedestrian or somebody on a bike, you can follow them.
I could have skipped learning about Julius Caesar. My life would have been okay without that 4 weeks of my AP English class. So you could replace it with that.
Oh, you mean the Shakespeare Julius Caesar?
Yeah, the Shakespeare Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
I didn't need that in my life. My life is not enriched by me knowing that play. So replace that. What'd you say, Quentin?
The answer that you don't want to your question is simply a cost. Because I remember when I was in elementary school in 2009, that there were a bunch of stuff that got kicked to the bucket. Like, I had Spanish up until second grade. And then 2008 happened and the Spanish teacher got let go. So I'm going to, like, there's just, we talk about school funding all the time. And I'm just going to guess that was one of the things that got kicked to the curb. No pun intended.
But it was like art's been cut. I mean, yeah, a lot of things have been cut from schools, but this seems like an important one to.
Do you think it's a legal liability?
For schools to have driver's ed?
I mean, I know I had a driver's ed teacher who was an instructor and got in cars with kids. And he was a bit shaky.
It was always our gym teacher.
Yeah.
Our gym teacher did health and gym and driver's ed.
It was a lot of gym teachers did it. The driver's ed instructor who also, the guy in the in-car instructor, had been in a really bad car accident because a girl pulled out in a traffic. My high school was off of a pretty busy road, Carlisle Avenue in Belleville. And it was bad. And he was in a bad accident. I mean, he recovered and everything. But yeah, and maybe that's it. It's just the insurance.
Then charge kids more for it. If you're going to have to pay to do it at summer school anyway for $300 for the summer,
yeah,
then charge kids $100 for it then. It's still less than what they're going to have to pay over the summer.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we fix e-scooters?
It's back to the e-scooters. Yeah. What do we do? Are you guys in favor of a blanket ban? Just they're illegal. Can't have them if they're motorized. You can have them if they're just, you know, push scooters. That's fine. Motorized ones need to be banned. Or do you think another solution is just start enforcing helmet laws? Like have the cops. I can't think of anything that would scare a kid more than a cop pulling you over.
Oh yeah.
And telling you, hey, you need to walk that home if you're not going to wear a helmet.
Because here's the problem with lowering the speed. And I'm not opposed to that at all. I mean, lower the speed, that's fine. You're still going to have the kids out at busy intersections, not knowing who's supposed to stop.
Right.
You know? And so, and we don't know exactly what happened in this accident. We don't know who had the right of way or what.
Fair.
But the fact that the driver stopped is telling to me.
They stopped and it's been 10 days and there haven't been any charges filed.
Right.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Your calls and texts coming up on midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about this unfortunate case of this fourth grader who was in this accident back 10 days ago at 103rd Street and Lee Boulevard in Leawood. He was on an e-scooter. And there was a collision with a vehicle. The driver of that vehicle stayed on scene. The kid had massive head injuries and just died of those injuries here in the last couple of days. I feel like we keep doing stories like this about kids that are on e-scooters that are being hurt. And so you either need to change the scooter or you need to not let them be allowed or educate kids more about how to stay safe on them. The state of Delaware, there are states that ban them.
Oh, have they?
Just Delaware and Pennsylvania, if you want to connect those dots. City of Toronto and City of Prague. Okay. It's so odd.
So internationally.
Yeah.
Don't take your damn e-scooter to Toronto or Prague.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Toronto did. I think it's kids need to be educated. I also really think the biggest change you can make is educating parents. Because I don't think parents realize how dangerous these things are.
Right.
And if anything good can come out of Duke Omert's very tragic passing, and God, my heart goes out to his parents.
I can't imagine.
This is why it's so hard to talk about this, because I don't think that they bought this going, whatever.
No.
You have fun. Go out and ride it. Don't wear a helmet. And we don't even know exactly what the consequences were, or the circumstances were of what led to the crash and his death. But I would say if anything good can come of it, it's maybe educating parents on how dangerous these things can be. They go too fast. The accident that kids get into on them is more dangerous and has more serious consequences than an accident on a bike, because you're going face first into stuff. They're not a safe option for transportation for your kids. And they're also, because the little wheels on it, it's really easy to lose your balance, lose control, fall off of them. We've had a bunch of people text in saying that they've ridden them and gone head over the, you know, head first over the handlebars and gotten into way worse accident they would if they were riding a bike.
How do we get parents to understand how dangerous they are? Because I guarantee you what's happening is, and this is how kids are, is that their friends have them.
Yeah.
And they want to be able to ride them with their friends. And you can tell your kid, don't leave our neighborhood. You know, don't leave our little, don't go out on the bigger streets. But when they're out of your sight, who knows what they're going to do?
The only thing you can, I mean, unfortunately, with a case like this, I think the only thing that's going to convince parents is stories like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunately just where we're at. That's how change gets affected far too many times, is people wake up to how dangerous they are when they see stories. It doesn't even need to be a news story. I'm sure lots of people in the area know this family,
mm-hmm.
know what happened, know why their son died. So, you know, just getting it out to the broader community is tough. I mean, looking at the accident rates, fatalities and accidents from these scooters has gone up 80% since 2021.
In 4 years?
In 4 years, 80%.
Wow.
And pediatricians, school nurses have all been saying we need to ban them. We need to get rid of them. There's ER doctors. I'm just looking at a bunch of different news stories on them. ER doctors saying we need to get rid of them. I know when we went to back to school night for Finn up at his school, the principal made a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
About, like, please don't let your kid ride these things. I hate the fact that kids pull up to school in them. I wish we could ban them.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, other, I don't know why they can't ban them on school property, but she said, I wish we could ban them. We can't. Yeah. So it's just not, it's not safe, especially, God, if you let your kid leave the house without a helmet on.
And too bad if the kid doesn't want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's the consequence you pay.
Yeah.
Riding the damn thing.
Yeah. I don't. This one's hard.
Yeah.
But this is not parents. This is on you to just say, this is just not a good thing for my kids to have.
913-586-7798. So from the text line, I lived downtown a few years ago and was taking a bird scooter to go vote in 2020. On my way back, I hit a pothole and fell headfirst over the handlebars to protect my face. I lifted my forearms and scraped off a bunch of skin on it and had to go to the ER for an X-ray. I was in my 30s, so well aware of the road.
How fast do bird scooters go?
Wasn't really going all that fast either.
20, 25, 30?
They say they weren't going that fast, but those go pretty fast. I agree, we need helmet restrictions. Yeah.
They're supposed to have them on the roads. They go fast enough that they're supposed to be on the roads, not on the sidewalks.
From the text line, at dismissal for my son's middle school, it is crazy with kids going through the parking lot, crossing car exits and streets. The kids do not look. They just go. They should have to walk them onto school property at least. Yeah, that's, again, my experience is mm-hmm. with these things is Finn and I walking on the sidewalk and then these kids rolling up behind us on these things, almost hitting us all the time. And because they're motorized, they're also quieter.
Yeah.
So they just got to sneak up on you. That's not really the point of this, but that is another annoying factor of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what's starting to happen too, is that like private shopping centers are banning them. So at least, mm-hmm. and that's gotta be a liability problem. I mean, just because like in Prairie Village, we were talking about a shopping center that they're banning them. That's got to be a liability area because that's private yep. property. If it's not a death like this, I don't know what it's going to take to get people done. Because we don't have this problem with everything else. We don't have a problem with bicycles. No. You know, we don't talk about this as much with any other skateboards. I mean, we don't have this problem with anything else.
Well, there is such thing as, what is it called? Integrated casualty. And that is where we have a baseline for what we'll accept
mm-hmm.
because it's always just been a part of our lives.
Right.
And so unfortunately too often guns gets included in that. Bicycle accidents gets included, but all the research I've seen says that these e-scooters are worse than bikes because, again, of the nature of the accident.
Yeah.
You can't, if you hit something on a bike, you're probably going to fall off to the side. You can also fall off to the side if you see you're going towards something.
Yeah.
On an e-scooter, you're just going face first into stuff.
Yeah.
That's why they're so dangerous.
We can get a quick call on here. 913-586-7798. Gavin's in Lawrence. Hey, Gavin.
Hey. So I originally did not agree with you guys and Scott and Dane on this issue until the other morning on my way to work. It's dark. His scooter is all lit up, had plenty of lights on it. He was wearing a helmet. I was doing 40 miles an hour, and he passed me.
Wow.
Wow. On an e-scooter?
Yes.
Was Yikes. It a kid?
No, it was an adult, probably okay. Going to work. It was early in the morning.
Quentin, didn't you say that you people can mod these e-scooters to make them go a lot faster, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Fantastic.
Great. I think we might have lost Gavin.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything more. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's, and, you know, kids are going to be shorter and people in cars that are going to have a hard time seeing them and stopping in time. And it's just, we don't need more distractions for drivers on the roads.
Can I just say from a purely solipsistic and kind of, mean point of view, it's just lazy, guys. Like, it bothers me. Like I had to
lazy
manually
parenting.
It's not lazy parenting, it's lazy kids.
Oh,
like, because you just crank a handle.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get to go fast.
Ride a bike.
God's sake. Good Lord, we have an obesity problem with kids in this country. Maybe that's because we keep giving them bikes and scooters that all you have to do is twist your hand in order to make it go. I had to ride my bike uphill both ways to school every day. In the snow. It's ridiculous.
I lived so close, they didn't let us walk. If our rule was if the bus went by your house, you were not allowed to walk to school.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid of the bus was going to hit you. I lived half a mile from my school. I could have walked it easily, but was not allowed to.
This is actually a really good point from the text line. Maybe we should end on this. Look, it's a motorized vehicle. Mm-hmm. All motorized vehicles should require an operator's license, which is going to require testing to make sure the operator is aware of the laws of the road, and a helmet should be required. Missouri used to have a helmet license for motorcycles. I don't know why they rescinded it. Well, they rescinded it because I believe Kansas and Illinois both were like, we don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't wear a helmet, if you don't think your brain's worth protecting, why should we? But I think that's a great point. If this is a motorized vehicle, it's not that different than a motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's not that different from a car. I know that you can ride a moped, for instance, without a license, but you shouldn't. Yeah. I've ridden them before. They're dangerous as hell.
Yeah. It's just a slower motorcycle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
I will say everybody should ride one at least once just to see how dangerous they are, and also maybe give a little bit of grace to people on motorcycles because you realize how terrifying it is to drive these things. All right. Let's keep the transportation talk going. Drowsy versus drunk driving is the next topic.
Guilty.
Research indicates that drowsy driving can be just as bad as drunk driving. I'm actually going to make the argument that I think it's kind of worse in one way.
We'll talk about that. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll talk about that next at midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some new stats came to us from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. There is a new survey from the American Academy of Sleep Medicine that says 41% of U.S. adults have felt so sleepy while driving, it affected their ability to drive safely. That includes half of men and one third of women. The AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety estimates about one in six fatal crashes involves a drowsy driver. And it's not, it does, unlike some of the other stuff like texting and driving, drowsy driving is an equal problem across every age group. So it doesn't matter.
This is earlier when I said I could make the argument that it's worse than drunk driving. This is how. If you're drunk driving, typically that doesn't involve the classic signs of drunk driving. You're not being able to keep the car on the road and weaving all over the place. Actually, it's more aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's that you're less inhibited, so you'll drive faster and be stupid and reckless. But I would argue, at least with drunk driving, you're trying to keep the car on the road. You're
not sleeping.
Yeah, as opposed to falling asleep behind the wheel. there's no way you can control any of that. And at least with a drunk, there's a possibility that they just aim for the middle two roads that they see instead of all the other ones. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it is kind of we castigate drunk driving for good reason, because there's the moral implication of you went to a bar and you got loaded up and then you decide, screw it, I'm not going to Uber. I'm not going to have a friend drive me home. I'm not going to call somebody and have them come get me. I'm going to put my life and everyone else's life at risk when I get behind the wheel. But why don't we feel the same way about this?
I think it's because we still don't take being tired seriously enough. I think we still think that it's a macho thing to power through and to not need much sleep. And if I had to tell someone, and you and I are both really bad sleepers, if we got off the air at 2 o'clock and I said to you, can you drive me home? I am too tired to drive home. I would feel silly for that. We don't take sleep seriously enough.
Nope.
As we should. And so I think even if you think you are too tired to drive, you're not going to tell anyone that. You think, I'm just going to try, or I'll drink caffeine, or I'll keep the window open. I'll stop if I'm too tired, and nobody does.
I think you nailed it. That there's like a nobility to being tired.
Yeah.
There's just I'm pushing myself to the limits of what I can do, and that we shouldn't have that feeling about it, but we do.
And I'm proud of it.
The reason we do is because of, you know, puritanical work ethic that's still being part of our cultural fabric. So we think that somebody who's working really hard and killing themselves for their job is actually, it's a noble thing to do, when in fact it's bad because you're putting people at risk by going on the road. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to be asleep behind the wheel for drowsy driving.
No, not at all.
Affect you. It's also a lack of focus.
Highway hypnosis. Is that what they call that?
Yeah. Yeah. Where you kinda just locked into a lane and you're not really paying attention to everything going on around you. And I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to think of a couple times I've been in accidents. One was, we were on vacation and I pulled out into an intersection thinking it was a four-way stop, and it wasn't. And it wasn't a major accident. Nobody was hurt. Nobody had to go to the hospital or anything like that. But I was tired. I'd only slept like three hours the night before. And I, until I thought about it, and honestly just kind of now thought about it, I didn't think that was that reckless. But I got to imagine it probably contributed to it. Another time, this was a very minor accident, but I was pulling out of parking spot. I had not slept the night before. I was delivering pizzas, pulled out of a parking spot. Somebody was pulling in next to me, and I just scraped against the side of their car as I was pulling out because I was tired. and was delivering pizza and not paying attention.
I have one. I mean, I remember when I used to work in Illinois and I was like, I did the 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift on a Sunday, on Sundays in the newsroom. And part of my job on my way home was to stop by the sheriff's department. And back then they would print off for you the log of everybody that had been arrested. You had to look at it, make sure like nobody had been arrested for murder. And I did the thing where I looked at the headlight. I looked at the stoplight ahead of me, like the next one, but not the one directly in front of me. The one in front of me was red. I looked at the one ahead of that was green. And I was T-boned by a big SUV, like a like it was a massive wreck. I'll never forget it. It was at the intersection of front and center. I'll never forget. It was right in front of the sheriff's department. Yeah, it was right in front of the sheriff's department. I was tired. I worked all day. It was 11 p.m. I had class the next morning. It was, you know, I think it's also difficult to think sometimes, like if I need to stop, do I, the idea of stopping in a parking lot and sleeping in a parking lot for 15 minutes seems, number one, a little scary because you never know what's going to happen. But also like, is that going to do it? Is like, if you're that tired that you can't drive, is a 15 minute nap on the side of the road going to do it? Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I you and I, again, really bad sleepers. I think that it definitely helps. I think it would, a 15.
It's not
gonna hurt. Been dog tired, come home, fell asleep on the couch for 15 minutes, woken up, and then was fine the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So from the text line, it doesn't help that everybody's high now. I don't think everybody's
Is everybody high now?
Weed. Everybody's smoking weed necessarily. Maybe from in your neck of the woods, their texter, maybe you specifically are, but I don't know that everybody's high. Look, before they legalized marijuana, this was the discussion we had a lot. Is like, well, how is it going to affect driving? Mm-hmm. How is it going to affect drunk driving? How is it going? And from the research I've seen, it's not led to a noticeable increase in traffic fatalities or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Drowsy driving probably has. And it is crazy, Jamie, when you think about it, how much effort has been put into making cars safer.
Yeah.
And yet it doesn't seem like the fatalities are going down. They've remained pretty consistent around 30,000 a year.
Have we focused on, and I don't even know what technology would exist in a car other than cars are becoming self-driving. I mean, a lot more of them. But is there something in a car that could sense, or could we create a thing that could sense that you're drowsy drifting driver. Off. I mean, other than if you were to drift lanes, which we already have that, is there something that could sense, like watch your eye movement? You know, and if your eyes are not moving or if you're not blinking enough or whatever.
I hate to say this, but yeah, there is. And some cars already have it. Teslas have it, but there's in-car monitoring.
Yeah.
There would be a camera that's on you all the time. And for instance, in my car, if I take my eyes off the road and am not paying attention to the road, it will give me a warning. If I'm looking at my phone, it'll give me a warning. And I know this because I'll be stopped at a stoplight, get a text message from one of my kids, pick it up and go, what? Okay. And then I can't respond to it without my car going, hey, hey, what are you doing? Get your hands on the wheel.
And do we want that?
I don't think a lot of people would.
I think most people
would consider it an invasion of privacy.
Right.
I do, but I'm willing to put up with it.
What's that, Quentin?
Some people are putting, you're not to tease too far into the show, but some people are putting cameras in their toilets. So, you know.
Yeah, some people have no problem.
It's a different thing.
It's not that they're wanting people to see or anybody's going to see them. It's just that they will detect whether there's disease in what you're dropping down into the toilet.
Okay, so how do we get people to take sleep more seriously? Maybe that's what this comes down to, is how do we get people to, or at the very least, be willing to openly admit, I am too tired to do a thing. I've canceled meetings before because I've just said, I did not sleep and I'm exhausted and I'm going to be useless. And you feel like a weenie. You feel like that there's something wrong with you that you can't just power through. How do we change that?
How do we start prioritizing sleep? Because it is an epidemic. And a lot of people have said this on the text line, that it's the economy is squeezing us from both ends.
Yeah.
Everybody feels like they need to work two jobs to make ends meet, and which is true for a lot of us. And if you can't do that, then like you're going to fall behind. But in order to do that, you have to miss out on sleep.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. And call or text 913-586-7798. Your comments coming up on Midday.
Perfectly timed as a distracted driving PSA just played last there in the break. As we are talking about sleepy driving and drowsy driving, and it being worse than I think a lot of us are willing to admit.
Yeah, I think it's because, again, there's nobility associated with it, which it really isn't associated with being drunk, because that's a choice. And we act like being drowsy isn't. But honestly, well, it's less of a choice than drinking, I guess. 913-586-7798. Got some calls?
Yes. Let's go to Shane in Olathe. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
I completely agree with it being sometimes even worse. And I do also want to second down or double down on the, you know, hey, it's because we're at work sometimes. I was a police officer, and it was my first time doing the overnight shift. And I remember I was driving down in the middle of the street, and I'm approaching an intersection. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I need to start slowing down. And then you know how you do the sleep fall where your head just kind of, and you just all of a sudden you're awake, you know, you kind of pop awake. I remember feeling that feeling, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and that intersection was about 200 or 300 yards behind me.
Oh, my God.
And I thank God every day that I didn't just blow through an intersection and kill somebody. But, you know, fortunately, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So I went over to the, you know, to the convenience store and got a Diet Coke or whatever and started walking around because I just wasn't used to being up at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it took quite a while to get used to it. So there's a lot of it that, you know, and I wasn't going to call a supervisor and say, hey, I need to take a couple hour nap because I'm really sleepy. You know, that just wasn't a thing.
Yeah. They're going to tell you, well, you should have slept better last night. Should have gone to bed earlier. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, Shane. I
remember driving back from on vacation with family, driving through New York City, and it just like somebody put bricks on my eyelids.
Oh yeah.
And we ended up pulling over, and it's tough because you don't want to tell people like mm-hmm. I'm too tired. I can't handle this. I can't do this anymore. Cause that makes it seem, no matter what the case, it makes it seem like, well, you're weak.
Yeah, it's like it's something we can control.
Right.
Should have just gone
if
to bed
I was
earlier.
Just stronger, then yeah. I'd be able to stay up for 24, 48 hours. Coming up, we're going to do the list. What does Kansas City do better than St. Louis? How about football? Because we also have an update on Josh Simmons that we're going to share with you guys after the break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.